There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning into the Gospel Light Radio Show. Your host this evening is Stevie R. Butler with my co-host Tim Bench from the state of Texas, Glenn McMillian from the state of Texas, Robert Lee Johnson from the state of Georgia, Jason Lieber from the state of Kentucky, Patrick Medlock from the state of Florida, Brandon Hansford from the state of Alabama, Steve Carter from the state of Florida, Courtney Carruthers from the state of Illinois, and Willie Williams III from the state of Texas. Ladies and gentlemen, we are grateful that you are tuning in to our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and stand along with us. We are very excited. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we are on the air, you can give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments or concerns with any of my co-hosts, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com, or you can give me a call to the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now, again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. And if you need any assistance in locating a congregation in your area, please contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on the Gospel Light Radio Show. Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Stevie B's Media Production presents the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler, and this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just so grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Churches of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast, and we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you will be with my co-hosts, Courtney Carruthers and Jason Lieber, as they present their lessons from the word of God on this evening. We pray that you will continue to bless them in their efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and bless their families as well. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners. We pray that they may listen well. Pray that they may hear something that will cause them to consider their eternal stance before you and their soul salvation. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus and all that he means to us in this life and in the life to come. We thank you for his precious sacrifice on Calvary, for we recognize without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us and love us and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful unto death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. We have had some difficulty here in the area in which I live. I had a power outage about an hour ago, and my power just came back on. I wasn't even sure that we was even going to be able to do the show tonight, but we're trying to put it together. So we have my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. He has the first segment, and I'm not sure whether we will even do the shouted out questions on this broadcast this evening, but my co-host Jason Lieber, he's one of my new co-hosts. He's just joined the show. He'll be bringing his lesson in the second segment as well. So we're going to make this show work tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your patience and thank you for tuning in to this broadcast and your love and support for this program. After this break, the next voice you hear will be that of my co-host, Courtney Carruthers. Thank you for joining the broadcast tonight. Open your Bibles now and open your minds and let's have a great show.
Oh, standing there waiting,
right here waiting
for you.
For you.
Somebody needs to know. See, I remember when I was a boy. The preacher was preaching about the goodness of the Lord, and he said
his arms
said he's standing right there
waiting for you.
Yeah, Lord, listen. Well, something happened that day, a burning deep within, that I got so happy when I heard him say it again. And he said
he's on the
Y'all, I look my daddy straight in the eye and I ask him this. Say, can I come to him now?
Come as you are.
When can I come? What are you gonna do?
He'll wash your sins away.
Oh,
he's gone.
Said he's right there waiting.
He'll wait
for you. It was a happy day. I got so excited that I ran down the aisle. That I gave my life to Jesus. I went down in the water.
He's
all
open
wide.
He's right
here for
you.
I got one more time. When mama got sick, we all gathered round to pray. Pain in her body, she was slowly slipping away. I can hear her say, it's all right, my son, don't worry. They come with me. I'm in the hands of a good God. It was a calm on her face, peace in her eyes. Then an angel from heaven said, come on home, my child, cause his arms open wide, and he's waiting just for you. And I can hear my mama as she talked to the angel saying, can I come to him? Is it all right?
Oh,
what are you going to do? Now it's alright, that it's really alright. And y'all, I remember like it was yesterday. It was early one Sunday morning that you went on home to Jesus. No more doctors, no more hospitals. Trouble all over. Oh, thank you, Lord. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all don't mind, I got one more thing. I can imagine I see my mother's face again. See her smiling face. So we're in the promised land, yeah. And I can hear her saying, it's been a long time coming, son. I've been waiting, boy. Said it's good to see you. Oh, and I get to talk to my mama again. I say, mama, tell me, where is your mama, the one who died?
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now my co-host, Courtney Carruthers, and his subject, denominationalism. From whose heart did it originate from?
Good evening, and thank you for the opportunity, Stevie. And we thank God for allowing us to come on the air tonight to share a few words that will hopefully keep our minds in the position of receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our soul. And that is simply saying, from the word save, to rescue our soul from eternal damnation. I do believe that there are some out there listening that are looking for an avenue of being rescued or saved. In this segment tonight, we're going to talk about what people should be saved from or rescued from to be right, to be in a right relationship with God. And I'm trusting that you'll pray with me as, pray for me as I break unto you the bread of life, which is able to enrich our souls to be healthy on this Christian journey to heaven. Tonight, we'll be coming out of 12, 1 Kings chapter 12, and the verses are 25 through verse 33. I pray that you'll read with me or pay attention as we read these verses. 1 Kings 12, 25 through verse 33. The word of God reads as thus: Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two cows of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the cows that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made. In Bethel, the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. From this reading, as it's been announced, we're going to talk a few minutes on the subject denominationalism. From whose heart did it originate from? And reading from these pericopes of Scripture. Verses, we find a repetitive word or phrase saying, which he had made. That would be a subtopic for our teaching and learning of God's word. By way of starting this segment in this lesson, it is needful to give a brief definition of the word denominationalism. The word denominate means to give a name to designate. It is a perfectly respectable term if one cashes a $200 bank draft, see in denomination of 10s and 20s. In this sense, the word merely signifies a separation and to various division by name. And so the term itself is not tainted. Denomination takes only less than ideal sense when one considers the popular use in the lexicon of Christendom. Christendom is a term that embraces the entire religious terrain that professes any identification. Therefore, the one authority defines denominationalism in the following fashion. It states the system and ideology founded on the division of truth of the religion population into numerous ecclesiastical bodies, each stressing particular values or tradition and each competing with the other, and the same community under substantial condition of freedom. Therefore, denominationalism is the result of division, a division incidentally that frequently is applauded. The ideology accommodates various variant ecclesiastical bodies in distinctive doctrinal differences. Denominationalism tends to focus more upon tradition and preferred values than scripture. The system engenders a spirit of adversarial rivalry rather than cooperation. The denominational concept encourages the idea that the freedom to differ on major points of doctrine is a healthy spiritual phenomenon. Each of these propositions is antagonistic to biblical truth. Division. The scripture does not condone the diversity characteristic of denominationalism. Religion division is condemned in both testamental scriptures. David declared that it is good and pleasant thing when brethren dwell together in unity. Psalm 133. What are the opposites of these adjectives? When the kingdom of Israel, according to 1 Kings 12, split into northern and southern segments, each with its different system of worship, such became the disgrace of Old Testament history. The rebellious Jeroboam started a new denomination that he had devised with his own heart. The question tonight must be asked, why do we have so many churches? Are all these churches a part of one system, a spiritual system, or are they of a man's system? Or in other words, are they part of a value of God or the value of what we call the value of worldview conflict? I will say biblical view conflicts, these denominations, my brothers and sisters and friends in this radio land, are not these religious systems, are not or did not derive from God. They came from men who desired God to be pleased with their worldview system or biblical view system, to please their appetite or what they think is true salvation. But God requires that we uphold to his view, because it's his view that will get us into heaven. Now, when we talk about salvation, we were talking about the word soteriai, meaning to be rescued. God desires that people be rescued from the clutches of Satan, to be put into his habitation called the church, which according to the Bible is called the Church of Christ. If I had time tonight, and I may make this a part two series for next time, but for now, part one, we want to identify through the definition of the word denominationalism, how did it come about? It did not come from God, because God already had his set purpose for man to dwell together in unity. It did not come from God, because God already had his paradigm of what will bring people into his presence. That paradigm came from the blood from his son Jesus, the author and the finisher of our salvation. That paradigm comes from God the Son, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That paradigm is this, that Jesus is the epitome of truth. So if Jesus is the epitome of truth, the architect of the true church, the architect of true religion, how can we get into that atmosphere? We get into it by hearing what thus said the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 says, today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Therefore, we want to hear then what Jesus had to say. We know that the Bible tells us in Matthew 16, 13 through 18, that when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he began to ask the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some begin to say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. But then Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? Based upon the apostles or the disciples' view of Jesus, Peter rose up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock, or this Petra, upon you, Petra, I will build my church. My church. Now, in God's church, he established the church, he built the church with his blood. Well, I know you perhaps are saying, well, preacher, can you identify more clearly? Yes, I can. identify more clearly. Why are you speaking along denominationalism? Well, because some people are asking the question. Centrally, the question is, what denomination do you belong to? Well, folk who know the truth don't belong to a denomination. They belong to the church from which other churches broke away from the original. So what is the original? Well, biblically, Romans 16:16 says, you know, you heard before, salute one another with the holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Therefore, going back to our text, we understand that when the kingdom of Israel split into northern and southern segments, each came with had a different system of worship. One had the original style of worship from God, and the other did not. He made priests like the other priests who did not come from the tribe of Levi. That's another point that we need to emphasize, but I am defining denominationalism. But as I define it, let me just say this, that God's ministers are called brothers in Christ and denominationalism. They have the hierarchy names of titles. They call themselves the Pope, the Father. They call themselves Reverend. And that's another lesson within itself. But God said, do not be called fathers, for you have one whose father, you have one, for your father is in heaven. And don't many of you be called rabbi, for you have one who is your teacher. We are not called the reverend, because the Bible tells us that holy and reverent is his name. We're called brothers in Christ Jesus. Now, here, in this case then, we are emphasizing from denominationalism, whose heart did it come from? We already identified that it came from the heart of man. Well, God's intentions has always been oneness. Say again, God's intention for salvation has always been one in Christ Jesus, because Jesus is the mediator between both God and man, and only in Jesus can one, a person, be saved by the blood of Christ, which puts us into his body called the Church of Christ. God has always been a God of one. I want to show this real quickly now, how that God from the Old Testament to the New Testament has always been a God of one. We notice, number one, that oneness is prophesied according to Isaiah 2, 1 through 3. Oneness is prophesied according to Isaiah 2, 1 through 3, when it said, we'll all go up to the mountain of the Lord, let us all go up to the mountain of the Lord's house. That is one nation, one, the kingdoms coming back together, northern and southern, coming together to worship God in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Not only that, number two, oneness is prayed for, according to John 17, 20 through 23. Now, this is the original Lord's Prayer, the model prayer we find in Matthew, where it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, but the Lord's Prayer. And if you ever want to know if you're in the right state of church accountability, we've got to recognize what the Lord had prayed for. John 17, let's go there. John 17, verse 20 through verse 23 reads as follows. John chapter 17, verse 20 through verse 23, the Bible says these words in John 17, 20 through verse 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. Now, let me stop here and say this, that God's prayer to his Father was that they all may be one. Oneness means this, that they follow the doctrinal integrity of the inspiration of Scripture according to New Testament prerequisites of salvation, and prior to that prerequisite of salvation, that is hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, according to Acts 2:38, we are placed in his body or his environment or community where people are taught more and more about the essence or quality of Jesus' life, and they are given that quality of living, quality of worship, which we sing, we don't play, we don't pluck, and we don't beat. We take the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week, because every first day of the week has, every week has a first day. According to our Gregorian calendar, our first day of the week is on Sunday. Any church that say they are the true church that uses instrumental music that God does not prescribe in the New Testament is a denomination. For we know that every church that Paul wrote, he told them to sing. He inquired them to sing, required them to sing. Bible says, what is, in 1 Corinthians 14, what is it then? I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Ephesians 5, 19, 20, he says, singing and make be not drunk with wine, but sing and make melody in your heart unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms. Psalms is a hymn note. Hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. So in the Church of Christ, which is founded in the Bible, in the Church of Christ, our worship, New Testament is in the Bible. Any church that does opposite of that which is written is a denomination. We take the Lord's Supper upon the first day of the week, Acts 27. We give every first day of the week. Amen. So here, Jesus prayed that they all may be one. John 17, 20, he says that they all may be one, 21, as we, thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And thy glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. That's John 17, 20 through 23. Oneness is practiced according to Acts 2, 46 through 47. Oneness should be pursued according to 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Let that there be no division or schism amongst you. Oneness is the perfection of God, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 through 6. Oneness is the perfection of God, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Our Bible says, your Bible and my Bible says the following. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul writing, saying these words. Ephesians 4, verse 3. Through 6, Paul says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Here it is, 7-1, which means the perfection of God. There is one body, that is the church, and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all in you all. That is the perfection of God. And then oneness is seen in the power of God, according to 1 Thessalonians 1, 5-7. So, just as God has called worshiping different gods or worshiping at church of our choice a sin, according to 1 Kings 12 and 30, we find Jesus in Matthew 15, 36, letting the people then and now know that if God did not plant it, purchase it, then he'll pluck it up. Therefore, the answer to our subject is given not only in 1 Kings 12, 25-33, denominationalism, from whose heart did it originate from, but the answer is also given to us from these scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Let's turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the verse is 1. The Apostle Paul writing to Timothy says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. And I want to emphasize this again. I want to emphasize the particular word there. When Paul says the faith, He is talking about a definite article of one faith, one kind of faith. Definite article of the faith is this, that the faith is God's requirement of salvation. Faith is our response to the faith what God requires. God requires that all who desire to be saved or rescued for eternal salvation must be in the faith. And if I had, I don't have time, but I will show in another segment that the faith, how the faith is emphasized throughout God's word. Because every time you read the definite article, the faith gives us a requirement of God. Faith gives us how we ought to respond to that requirement. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. The Spirit says that latter time, which is now, some will depart what God requires. I read to you already that God requires that we all may be one. We cannot say we're one when some go to different churches and practice differently. If you desire to be one with Christ, God has allowed you and I to be alive today to make our calling and our election sure through his son Jesus. The salvation of Jesus is not a fourth Sunday salvation. The salvation of Jesus, it's not a first Sunday salvation, but the salvation of Jesus is a now salvation. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. When the day you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Everyone say, I want to be part of that faith that I can read about in the Bible. Why not do it now? For we know in Acts 22 and 16, the Apostle Paul says, and why now tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. 1 Peter 3:21, Peter puts it this way. The light went to baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. James chapter 4 says, what is your light? It is nothing more than a vapor that appears but for a little while, but then vanishes away. What are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to convince someone that while you're driving, sitting at your home, you need to look up the Church of Christ in your area. Find that preacher. Find that elder. Find that deacon. Say, I heard the man of God teaching from the word about denominationalism. And where did it come from? That man of God showed me that it comes from the mind of the heart of man. That man of God showed me according to the scripture. How did it originate, and what Jesus preferred for us to do, and that what his preference is to be one with God. I'm trying to encourage your heart to call the Church of Christ in your area and tell them you desire to be baptized, just like the Ethiopian eunuch said in Acts 8:27-26, see, here is water, what is keeping me from being baptized. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou mayest. Is that an amen? Now also, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, our Bible says these words, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. I want to pause and say that there are some who are still scratching their ears to hear where salvation comes. Salvation comes from God to his manservant who preaches the unadulterated truth of Jesus Christ. Then last tonight, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. Our Bible says, your Bible says these words. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So therefore, this simple lesson, firing us with the imperativeness, the imperativeness of time. That if you heard something that was convincing from God's word, and you know if the validity of it is true, why not make Christ the center of your heart today by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and calling up a Church of Christ preacher, telling him what you have heard. You don't have to know from Genesis to Revelation. You must know that you are in a state of loss, that you are in a lost state. In order to get out of a lost state, the Word of God must rescue you and save you and put you into the environment of Christianity where the ethics and the edification and the exhortation and the exaltation come from Jesus Christ and is towards Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening, and may you have a blessed night, and may God keep your heart strong in His Word.
These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you would like to have your events and activities announced on this broadcast, please give me a call at my Carolina studio at 910-491-6405 or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. On October the 1st through the 4th, 2018, the 45th Annual Southeastern Lectureship 2018 will be hosted by the West Oak Grove Church of Christ. And that address is 3455 Highway 51 South, Hernando, Mississippi, 38632. Hotel information and registration accommodations, please contact the ministry evangelist, Terry D. Wallace Sr., at telephone number 662-449-4191. On August the 31st through September the 3rd, 2018, the 87th Annual Homecoming and Empowerment Conference will be held at the Woodland Forest Church of Christ. And that theme for the conference will be Moving from Emancipation to Sanctification. And that address is 1515 North Forest Street, Valdosta, Georgia, 31601. And their website is woodlandforest.com. For more information, please call 229-242-7628. And the ministry evangelist is Leroy Butler, Jr. On September the 30th through October the 3rd, 2018, the 37th annual anniversary will be held at the Downtown Church of Christ. And that address is 3105 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23504. For more information, please give them a call at 757-622-2230. And the guest speaker will be my co-host on the Gospel Light radio show, Courtney Carruthers. And their service schedule will be 9:30 a.m. Bible study Sunday morning, 10:45 a.m. worship. There'll be a meal served at 12 noon. There'll be a singing program at 2 p.m. And also there'll be an afternoon worship service at 2:45 p.m. And the nightly service will be Monday through Wednesday at 7 p.m. On August the 15th through the 19th, 2018, the Youth Adult Ministry Lectureship will be held at the Church of Christ in Highland Heights. And that address is 1005 West Little York Road, Houston, Texas, 77091. The telephone number is 713-697-4792. Their website is office at highlandheightscoc.net. And their service schedule, the nightly services, Wednesday through Friday, will be held at 7 p.m. On Saturday, there'll be an event from 9 to 12 p.m. noon. On Sunday morning service, there'll be a 9 o'clock morning worship, and Sunday afternoon services will be at 2:30 p.m. And the theme for this lectureship will be Spiritual Makeover. On September the 20th through the 23rd, 2018, the Midwest Women's Conference of the Churches of Christ, and their theme will be Becoming the Beauty of His Image from Glory to Glory. And that address is Auburn Hills Marriott, Pontiac, 3600 Central Point Parkway, Pontiac, Michigan, 46341. And that website is Midwest Women's Conference, COC.com. On August the 4th through the 9th, the year 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ, in conjunction with the Jacksonville Church of Christ congregations. On September the 13th and 14th, 2018, there'll be a New Day Conference at North Boulevard Church of Christ in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Contact for more information, the website, northboulevard.com/newdayconference. on October the 18th through the 20th, 2018, the 2018 Midwest Lectureship will be held at the Cincinnati Marriott North, and that address is 6189 Mulhausen Road, Westchester, Ohio, 45069. For registration information, please visit the website www.midwestlectures.net. For hotel reservations, please call 1-877-739-9460. On September the 30th through the September the 16th through the 20th, 2018, there'll be a gospel meeting at the Church of Christ, and that address is 901 North Main Street, San Angelo, Texas. And the guest speaker will be Israel Rodriguez, and the theme of their meeting will be the triumph nature of God's goodness. And their service schedule will be Sunday morning Bible class at 9:30 a.m. There'll be a morning worship service at 10:30 a.m. There'll be an evening service at 5 p.m., and their nightly services will run from Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. For more information, please contact them on the website, www.ninthandmancofc.org. And just to remind you, Stevie B's Media Production presents, we're airing three live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. On Tuesday night, I'm airing a live show from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord, with Stevie R. Butler Radio Show. And each week, we're having guest speakers presenting lessons from the Word of God on this broadcast. And we also have the Community Corner. That's for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our community. And also my co-host, Edward Bishop, he will be presenting lessons on this broadcast as well. And then on Thursday night, I'm hosting a live show, the Gospel Light Radio Show, which airs from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I have nine co-hosts who will be presenting lessons on this show. And each week we'll have two of my co-hosts who will actually be on the air. Now, all of the co-hosts will be participating in the second segment of the broadcast, where I have some questions that I'm taking from my Shouted Out platform on social media, Facebook, and I'll be posing two of those questions to my co-hosts. And then on Friday night, I'm hosting a live show from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm hosting a live show, Stevie B. Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And the first week of the month, I'm doing the Story Glory segment, where I'm interviewing artists on that particular show, and we're also debuting new music and featuring old music. And then the second week of the month, my daughter Tati B, she's my co-host, and she's doing my whole playlist on that show. And the third week, we're doing the Top 20 Countdown show, which that show will actually be airing on tomorrow night's broadcast. And the fourth week, we're doing the Talent Search show. I give my listeners 60 seconds to stand on the world stage and sing their song. First and second place prizes will be awarded by my special guest judges. And once a quarter, we're doing the Marathon Show. That's a three-hour show of whatever group of artists that we're featuring on that broadcast, and we're just playing their music on that particular show. And if you are an artist and you would like to have your music played on any of my radio shows, just send me your MP3 formatted tracks via Dropbox, and my email is srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows. If you can't catch the live shows, you can listen to all of my shows, the on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations. You can go listen through Spotify. You can listen through iHeartRadio. You can listen through iTunes. You can listen through acaradio.net. You can listen through iWay Radio. You can listen to mccbroadcasting.com Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. You can listen to IBC Broadcasting. They're airing my programming on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. You can listen through YouTube. They're carrying my program. You can go through the Church TV Network on YouTube and listen through their playlist, Acapella Radio. You'll be able to listen to my audio versions of my shows. You can also go to my website, Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. And type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler, and that'll pull up all my on-demand episodes. And you can also listen through World of Acapella. And I'd like to thank my sponsors, Sharon Norwood. She lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her business is Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthy living. And my sponsor, Yvonne Blazing Cracker Gooch. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. The three E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, and we want to encourage you. Thank you for your love and support for these programs. And that will conclude our announcements.
Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy brought me through.
You're listening to the Gospel Light Radio Show. Now my co-host Jason Lieber and his subject, the overflow of God's love in our lives.
I want to welcome our listeners to the Gospel Light Radio Show. I am your co-host, Jason Lieber. I preach for the Kendall Springs Church of Christ in Owensville, Kentucky. This evening, let us study together the overflowing of God's love in our lives. Before we get started, I also like to thank Stevie B for this opportunity. And first and foremost, of course, to thank Jesus Christ. It is His grace that I am able to give this message this evening, and I want to share it to you in a gracious way. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans chapter 5. If you happen to be traveling on the road, keep your hands on the wheel. I do not want to cause anyone to have a wreck. Seriously, though, our lives will be a wreck without the love of God. So let us read together Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 to learn more about it. Paul writes, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." I want to ask a question. Why is God's love so awesome? Another question. Why does He pour it out into our hearts? To answer the second question, He does for two reasons. For us to be blessed by His love and to be a blessing to others. He wants us to reciprocate and to share it, to love Him in return and to love neighbor as oneself. Now let's answer the first question. Why is God's love so awesome? Well, number one, it is infinite. When we read verse 5 again in Romans chapter 5, it says, "Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out." The phrase "has been poured out" is translated from a verb that is in the perfect tense in the original language, and its meaning suggests an ongoing state established by a once-for-all act. In other words, God's love is a source we can continually tap into. Here in context, Paul is talking about one being baptized into Christ. When one is baptized into Christ, and by that I mean immersion into water, then God pours out His love into our hearts. And I can personally attest to this. When I was baptized into Christ, there was great joy, and there was a feeling of relief, and there was a feeling of security, and this was God's love being poured out into my heart. But that's not just something that I experience then. It's something I can experience every day because, once again, God's love is infinite. Now, in the context of this verse, once again, it has a beginning with no end, but because God is eternal in nature, then it has really no beginning and no ending. It's infinite. And so this is why or one of the reasons why God's love is so awesome. Number two, why is God's love so awesome? Another reason is it is not dependent on our love for Him. Now, hear me carefully. I'm not saying that fellowship with God is not dependent on our love for Him, but His love for us is not dependent on our love for Him. He still loves us. He loves sinners. He loves the sinner, but hates the sin. And here what Paul is talking about is what God did for us before we obeyed the gospel. He had His Son die for us. And, of course, in the first century, Jesus died for those people who were at enmity with God, who were ungodly, and Paul being one of those who persecuted the church. But God expressed His love to Paul and all of creation, and from that point, even those saints in the Old Testament, and even for everyone born thereafter, the time that Paul was alive, that God did this, even though we have been at enmity with Him. And so we see here is once again that God's love is not dependent on our love for Him. You see, with humans, that's not always so. And we'll talk more about that when we get to the latter part of this lesson. But we need to think big about God's love so that it'll have a big effect on us. We don't want to think small about God's love. And so that's the second reason why God's love is so awesome. Number three, we also find here in the text that it is costly, not cheap. When we look in the Bible, one of the interesting things that we find is very, very few times do we find that God says that He loves His people, and that or Jesus saying, "I love you." We find that in the book of Revelation where Jesus tells one of the churches that He loves them. But we don't find that. More often what we find in the Bible is God says, as we will look at John 3:16 later, that "I have loved you," showing that God expressed and showed His love. And the point I'm making is that talk, as we've heard before, is cheap. But that's because people don't back up what they say often. So I can go around telling people I love them, but if I don't show it, then where am I? Is it true? Is it really true? But this is not so with God. You see, God talks about it in the context in the Bible as something He does, not just something He says or not something that He feels. And so it is costly. It's not cheap. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about Jesus, how that He became poor that we can become rich. And He left the glories of heaven. He was born of a virgin. And He lived a life without sin, and He did everything that was necessary for us to be saved. But going back to His birth, when He was born of a virgin, the word manger kind of hides the humble beginning Jesus had. But manger, if you don't know it, means a trough, a feeding trough for animals. And Jesus, when He was born, He was laid in a feeding trough for animals, and His family was so poor that they needed gifts from the wise men, the beast, so that they could have something of value that they could use to purchase things for Jesus and for themselves. That's the kind of life that Jesus started out with. Jesus, when He begins His ministry, He talks about that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head. Jesus wasn't a homeowner. Jesus gave up everything so that we can have everything. And what I mean by that, spiritual blessings. Jesus just doesn't stop there, though. Jesus gave His life. Jesus died for the world so that we can be saved from our sin, to fulfill what the angel told Mary in the very beginning, that Jesus come to save His people from their sins. But that's not just Israel. It's also us today. Jesus died for you and for everyone listening to this radio show. So you see, it is costly, not cheap. So why is God's love so awesome again? Well, it's infinite. It is not dependent on our love for him. It is costly, not cheap. In John 3:16, this is probably one of the most known scripture in the Bible. And it reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, let's look at this real closely again. "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. You see, love is expressed through giving. And when we connect why God's love is so awesome, all of the answers that we've looked at, we connect that to this scripture, then we see that love gives. And so the underpinning of all of the reasons why God's love is so awesome is giving. You see, God gives at all cost. God gives without receiving. And God gives without limit, you see. And so God is teaching us a grand lesson here in his giving. You see, humans think that getting is what's going to fulfill us. But what we need to understand, it's not getting that's going to make our life better. It's going to be giving, like God. Giving is what really fulfills our life. It's not wrong to receive. And in some sense, it's good to receive if someone gives us so that they can be blessed in giving. But the ultimate fulfillment in life is found through the expression of love and giving. A pure act of love is a self-fulfilling act. And what I mean by that is I need nothing outside of myself to be fulfilled if I give out of pure love. And so pure love, like God's holy love, is a kind of love that will bring fulfillment into our lives. And is this not exactly what we read in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35? "Remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so, if we think big about God's love, if we understand God's love, if we see the importance of giving as a pure act of love, then this is going to make a dramatic change in the life of a sinner. It's going to make a dramatic change in the life of a Christian who is still learning about God and his love and how important it is to grasp it and to seek to understand it. Although God's love is limitless, it has no boundaries, it's inexhaustible and unfathomable, we have to harness the power of that love so that it overflows in our lives. Think about it as the water cycle, as you have the waterfalls flowing into the streams, and the streams flow into the ocean, into the seas, and then the clouds pick back up the moisture, and then it rains it back down. So God is blessing us with his love. If we turn to him, if we want to be more like him, if we want to have his love poured out into our hearts by faith. And if we do that, if we trust God, if we obey God, then there will be an overflow of love in our lives, and it will be evident to people. They will see this. It'll have a dramatic effect in our lives if we do that. And so I need to give then instead of being a taker. I need to think about other people before myself. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul talks about this. He says in Philippians chapter 2, in verse 3, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. And then let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name." And so we see here, that's what's most important in our lives, is not to be selfish, but to be selfless, to make sacrifices So how does this work out in my life? How, in the sense of what should I see? Well, there should be lots of things that we see in this life. In particular, we do have a problem here in America, and I want to say something about it, say it in a loving way, but in a truthful way. It is such a horrible, unloving thing for mothers to abort their babies. And abortion is really a euphemism. Let's just be honest, what they're doing, they're murdering them. Is this the love of God? You see, they're thinking about themselves. They're thinking about their careers and thinking about their own lives and what they think is good for them, which is not. It's not good for them to do this, of course. But America, people in it as a whole are blinded to this horrible sin. People trying, and those who oppose it with great fervor and with love look like fools when we're not the fools, but the ones who are murdering their children. It's so sad. But that's not love. You see, if they were to put the child first, think about the child in their life instead of their own, and if they would really think about what God does for us, how he expresses his love, then it would be a no-brainer. We don't even need a command, thou shalt not abort thy baby. We don't need that. If we know the love of God, if we experience the love of God and understand it and embrace it and grasp it, then mothers would know that they shouldn't do that. And there are other things that we see going along in this society that we need to take a look at. Now, the marriage, the home is being destroyed, and it's a sad thing. It's even reached a point now where the destruction of the home is not just between the same sex. I mean, not between just the opposite sex, but now the same sex. That in and of itself is a destruction of the home. Homosexuality. But taking a step back, just because somebody is heterosexual doesn't mean they're pleasing to God. Just because they know that homosexuality is not right or wrong doesn't automatically make us pleasing to God. For we see that in many so-called Christian homes, husbands don't love their wives, wives don't respect their husbands, and the children are not disciplined in such a way and that they would be raised to honor their father and mother. And it's a sad situation. But if husbands decided to put their families before their own pursuits, their worldly pursuits, perhaps fame, honor, wealth, or whatever it is that it may be that they're pursuing in life, if they don't put the kingdom first, if they don't put Christ first, and what they're doing is they're short-circuiting the love of God by doing this. And then they're not a blessing to their families, but they become a curse to them. And so Jesus says, no, if you come to me in faith, if you trust me, if you obey me, if you do the things that I ask, and if you truly experience the love that I have for you, then it will naturally pour out and overflow into your life. And you will love your wife. You will make sacrifices for your family. You will put the Lord first in all things. And even if that means telling your family the truth about something, making a change that's necessary for your family to become more righteous in serving Jesus. But the practical applications of this certainly is endless as we begin to think about this love that God has for us, that we need to be giving people. We need to be selfless people, not selfish, not grasping for things, thinking that this is going to fulfill me, this is going to make me make my life better. You know, people fall into that trap all the time. Where they think, well, if I get this new car, I'm going to feel better. You know, life's going to be better. If I can live the American dream, that life is going to be better, that I'll have this fulfilling life if I work really hard and, and have can build a mansion and have costly clothes and all of these things. And we know what Jesus says about that. He says Solomon and all of the things that he was arrayed with, that and what he wore, that it was not as glorious as the lily of the fields. And that don't be like the Gentiles, Jesus says, to seek after these things, but to seek the kingdom first, to seek Jesus first, to seek him so that he can do what? So that he can pour love into your heart, and as you experience that, it will overflow into the life of somebody else. In your service, and the way you treat people, your attitude towards them, your humility towards them, because you don't care anymore about what you're getting, but about what you're giving. You know, I want if we think about Jesus and what he gave up, once again, I'd like for us to think about that. As Jesus talks about himself being a servant in Matthew chapter 20. We read in verse 24, as he's talking to his apostles, you see, one of the things is that we need to understand is that this is a learned thing, and that this lesson that I am giving is something that I can't do on my own power, but I do by going to the power of the cross, by looking to Jesus and seeing what he did for me. In Matthew chapter 20, in verse 24, we see that his apostles did not even really get, it took them a while to really get what it meant to be a servant of God. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers, the ones that were seeking certain positions of glory and power in the kingdom. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give." There's that word, isn't it? That all-important word of this lesson. "And to give his life a ransom for many." Do you see the power of love? Not just the power, maybe I shouldn't say that. Do you see the power of God's love? That it doesn't have boundaries, and it doesn't say, "I'll only love this person, but not that person. I only love this race, but not that race." You see, God's love has no boundaries. Do you see that God's love is inexhaustible, that we can experience it every day? Do you see that God's love, even to some degree, is unfathomable? But that if we seek to grasp the power of it, and as it is being poured out into our hearts and overflowing into our lives, so that it can be example to others, wouldn't this world be a better place? Well, thank God it is. Because just think how bad this world would be without the message of the gospel. We need it so desperately. I hope that you consider all the things that I have said this evening. Not because co-host Jason T. Lieber said it, but because this is what the Word of God teaches. That his love needs to be experienced in a big way, so that it will have a big effect in our lives. And the way we do that is to understand his love expressed to us on the cross, that Jesus gave his life so that we can be saved. Thank you for listening. And I want to say a prayer before, as we end this part of the show. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your revelation, and I want to thank you for sending your son Jesus to show us the way. Dear Lord, I pray that these words will touch the hearts of all who have participated in this study. And I pray that it touches my own heart, and that you help me to see how important it is to love my wife and to love my children and to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, and to also love those who don't show their love for me, those who don't treat me the way that I should. I pray that you help me to be like you and to love my enemies, dear Lord, to have a complete love like you do, a love that has no boundaries, a love that is not only expressed when people love us, but a love that is deep, abiding, and complete in you. I pray that there will be an overflowing in my heart and in the heart of other people's lives, that they will show this love, that they won't just talk about it, but they'll do it, and that they'll be a blessing to their families, to their churches, to their people, be a blessing to their children, to their parents, whatever relationship that they are, all the various relationships that they're in. I pray that love will be what is expressed and not sin. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be on this radio show. I pray that you continue to bless the efforts of Stevie B and all of the brothers who are on this, that co-host together, so that we will be a blessing to the world and that we will help to be a light that shines in the darkness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
There's a land beyond the river that we call the sweet forever, and we only reach that shore by faith's decree. One by one we'll gain the portals there to dwell with the immortals. When they ring those golden bells for you and me,
There's a land beyond the river
that we call
forever,
and we only reach that shore,
by faith's decree,
in that far
sweet forever,
just beyond
the shining river.
Light Radio Show, episode 107.
God can. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'll admit it, y'all. The struggle is real, and sometimes our faith it gets a little weak. But over the years, y'all, I've found out.
God,
so we don't have to worry ourselves about it, y'all. So I just keep telling myself these two words: God can. My God, He can.
God, that I know that he can. Christmas.